Thank you for joining me today. Yesterday, we began a discussion on what's called the intertestamental period. Do not let that big, long name give you the sense this is something boring and irrelevant that you can tune out on a Tuesday. This is actually an intriguing time in history, as we have already learned. And what is the intertestamental period? It is the period of over 400 years that separate the final events of the Old Testament from the opening events of the New Testament in the Holy Bible. This title describes what occurs in the distance between Malachi and Matthew. Even though Scripture appears to be silent about these centuries, the truth is much is happening of importance in God's world. Last time I took you on a tour of some of the key events, people, and even inventions of those years. Events like Socrates being put to death, Aristotle being born, and Plato writing The Republic. People like Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and Cleopatra were mentioned. Inventions like the Appian Way, the Great Wall of China, and Chinese ships were also discussed. For a couple of days now, I want to lead us on a tour of what was happening in Israel and Jewish culture during these 400-plus years. But before I start, let me remind you why we are doing this. The why is always important. What interests me about the intertestamental period is how it prepares the world for Jesus Christ, and specifically how Israel is made ready for his first coming. And so, let us go back now to our timeline of dates and events in the period between the Old and New Testaments and begin with the same date we did yesterday, 430 BC, late 5th century. That's 430 BC, and the conclusion of the book of Malachi. I want to mention eight important events that took place between 430 BC and 4 AD. I will be mentioning eight events, and I will post these to God Is WEZ on Facebook, or you can write to me and get these. By the way, if you use this podcast with your children, these would be good episodes to have them listen to, and then quiz them on these dates and events. This will be fun to do as a family, and let them quiz you too. All right, here we go. In the year 390 BC, Aramaic began to replace Hebrew as the popular spoken Jewish language. As you may know, Jesus spoke Aramaic, and we will touch on this again when we get into the Gospels and find out how well-educated Jesus was. But what you need to know today is that the language Aramaic that he spoke was beginning to replace Hebrew all the way back in 390 BC. That's our first development. The second and third events take place very close to one another. In the year 170 BC, the temple in Jerusalem, so highly valued by the Jews, is plundered by Antiochus IV Epiphanes. This ruler was ruthless in his persecution of the Jews. Listen to one commentator. Antiochus IV Epiphanes forbade the Jews from keeping their laws, observing the Sabbath, keeping festivals, offering sacrifices, and circumcising their children. Copies of the Torah were ordered destroyed. Idolatrous altars were set up. Plus, the Jews were commanded by him to offer unclean sacrifices and to eat swine's flesh. Back now to my own words, swine. The pig, considered absolutely unclean by the Jews, was now forced into their mouths. Can you imagine how angry this made the Israelites? Do you know what else Antiochus Epiphanes did? He erected a statue to the Greek mythological god Zeus right in the temple itself. And this infuriated the Jews such that it led quickly to a multi-year event, our third event, the Maccabean Revolt. Now, this fascinates me, but let me be short in details because I recognize that you may not be a history buff, as I am. Let me give you the highlights. Judas Maccabeus. Maccabeus literally means hammer, as in the tool that hammers nails, was the leading son of his father who led this revolt. Their war for independence lasted 24 years and was waged using guerrilla warfare tactics. As part of this, the Jewish temple was finally cleansed in 164 BC. By the way, it is the cleansing of the temple during the Maccabean Revolt that Jews celebrate at Hanukkah. This is celebrated at Hanukkah. So in a sense, take that, Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, if it fascinates you, as it does me, as to how a revolt led by ordinary men could end in the Jews governing themselves for the next 100 years or so, then get a hold of The Jewish War by Josephus. Josephus was a first century historian and writer. This is not exactly bedtime or beach reading, but it will tell you about the Maccabean Revolt. Amazon has got it for anywhere between $5 and $17, depending on if you want it new or used. I just checked the price a few minutes ago. That is The Jewish War by Josephus. Tell them Mark sent you and you'll get, well, 0% off. This is not that kind of radio show. Let's move down to our fourth event in the intertestamental period that affects the nation of Israel specifically, and that is that in 37 BC, the Romans make Herod the Great king of Judea. With the Romans now in control of Jewish land, they call the shots. This Herod was born an Idumean. He converted to Judaism, and he captured the popular Greco-Roman worldview dominant at that time. In a moment, I will mention a project he undertakes that is very important, but for now we move on to our fifth major event, and that is that sometime around 25 BC, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born. Of course, how God will use her is of great consequence. Moving swiftly now, sixth, in 20 BC, this ruler, Herod the Great, begins remodeling the temple in Jerusalem. As the work progressed, this became known as Herod's Temple. This is the temple Jesus visited and made reference to. It was prominent in his life, and we will soon read about that in Luke 2. Herod's temple lasts until 70 AD when the Roman Titus tore it apart and burned it to the ground as he ravaged Jerusalem, just as Jesus predicted. And if you go to Jerusalem today, in the place where Herod's temple was, you will find the Islamic Dome of the Rock. However, there remains one part of the temple, and that is the Western Wall. Have you been to Jerusalem? If yes, then you more than likely have visited this. Wow, so much can be said about each one of these events, but let's keep going. Our seventh event is, next to the death and resurrection of Jesus, the most important event ever. And that, of course, is Christ's birth. He is born between 6 to 5 BC. And then I will just add our last event, our eighth event, which concludes a life, in 4 BC, Herod the Great dies. So Jesus is born somewhere between 6 to 5 BC, and in 4 BC, Herod the Great dies. I told you, there's a lot going on in this period between the Old and New Testaments. And let me just run these eight events in the life of the Jewish people past you again. In summary, first, in 390 BC, Aramaic began to replace Hebrew as the popular spoken Jewish language. Second, in 170 BC, the temple in Jerusalem, so highly valued by the Jews, is plundered by Antiochus IV Epiphanes. Third, in 165 BC, the Maccabean Revolt commences. Fourth, in 37 BC, the Romans make Herod the Great king of Judea. Fifth, around 25 BC, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is born. Sixth, in 20 BC, Herod the Great begins remodeling the temple in Jerusalem. Seventh, somewhere between 6 and 5 BC, Jesus is born. And eighth, in 4 BC, Herod the Great dies. I hope you got those. If not, you can write to me and ask for them or look them up on God Is WEZE Facebook. I understand you may not be very interested in history, but there's no doubt about this. The Christian has to take a deep and sustaining interest in the Bible. All of the disciples of Jesus are all students of the Word of God. We have to be. If the Bible is disinteresting to you, then what does that say about your relationship to God? It does not speak highly of it. Furthermore, the events of world history, the types of things pagan, secular, non-Christian historians study and write about, are all accounted for in the Bible. Every detail we looked at yesterday and today is not in contrast to what the Bible says, but in keeping with it. God's holy word is accurate history. And the reason I have given you this timeline is because I wanted to prepare you for the coming of Jesus in the Gospels, yes. In particular, I'm interested in two features of the intertestamental period that emerge within Judaism and impact the actions and teaching of Jesus. The first is an intense commitment to the law of God to the point of legalism. Think here about the Pharisees and the scribes. If you have read Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you realize that you've got to know more about the Pharisees and scribes if you are to understand why Jesus speaks to them the way he does, and why they hated him so much. I have long felt that one of the problems Christians and others who read the Bible have is that they do not know much about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and other groups before reading the Gospels. It's like we just start in Matthew without knowing what developed between Malachi and Matthew. Again, a period of over 400 years, four centuries. And so we end up kind of lost, confused with these various religious groups. But this need not be. So I'm taking time on this. Beginning tomorrow, I'll talk more about how this in-between period affected these groups. So please do not miss tomorrow's time together. And the second feature is an intense anticipation for the coming of the Messiah that grows in fervor during this intertestamental period. There was a growing anticipation for this long-awaited figure to arrive. The prophets had to be right, and the expectation was definitely that the king was coming, and coming fast. And we're going to get into this anticipation as well. God is in charge of all history. He is always on the move. He is preparing the way for his son Jesus to be born and to radically and forever transform the world. Aren't you thankful? Don't you want to learn all about God? Then let's spend every weekday together learning about who God is in Christ.